sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 152. Motherfuckers say that I'm foolish. Here we go. Motherfuckers say that I'm foolish.
Message!
I only talk about jewels, bling bling. Do you fools listen to music, or do you just skim through it? See, I'm influenced by the ghetto you ruined. The same dude you gave nothing, I made something doing. What I do through and through, and I give the news with a twist, it's just my ghetto point of view. The renegade, you've been afraid, I penetrate pop culture. Bring them a lot closer to the block where they pop toasters. And they live with their moms, got drop roasters, roadsters, roadsters. From botched robberies, niggas crouched over. Mommy's knocked up because she watched over. Knocked down by some clown when child support knocked? No, he's not around. Now how that sound? Jot it down. I bring you through the ghetto without riding around. Hiding down, ducking strays from frustrated youth stuck in their ways. I just read a magazine that fucked up my day. How you rate music that thugs with nothing relate to it? I'm going to repeat that one. How you rate music that thugs with nothing relate to it? I help them see they way through it, not you. Can't step in my pants, can't walk in my shoes. Bet everything you worth, you'll lose your tie and your shirt. All right, especially the line where he says, which was my favorite one. Do you listen to music or do you just skim through it? Now, that deserves some pondering. See, I'm influenced by the getting. Yeah, anyways. Yeah, dope. All right. Hey, welcome. Bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com and a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, I want to inform you new listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. So I represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to the question,
are you an outcast?
I also represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on February 28th, 2024. Oh, last 2 days of Black History Month. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right. I'm about to say that this is going to be... What's going on with this headphones? I was about to say that this is going to be a short episode, but I don't know. I like to talk, so who knows? I might be deceiving you. I think it's going to be short because I put down less item than usual. But we'll see. We'll see. Let's go with the flow. So for you new listeners, just to help you get situated or familiar with this podcast, is I like to break down my episodes into three parts, or acts, if you will. The first act is the introduction, which is what I'm doing right now. The second act is news and random thoughts. And the last act is final thoughts. In the introduction, I do shit. I'll probably hold the record for the longest introduction in a podcast. And so in your introduction, I like to do shit like I play the theme, tell you the title of the episode, recite some poetry that that's going to relate to the final thought. And in this particular case, the overall theme of today's episode combined with the last two episodes about being an outcast. And another thing I like to do, I do you my greetings, warn you about the kind, warn white people about the kind of podcast they're about to embark, about the journey they're about to embark in. And finally, do some shit like share some quotes or ideas or words of wisdom. The first one, which I feel is very apropos, goes, are you brave enough to be weird? My answer is yes, but not to the point, not weird enough to end up in jail. Does that make sense? Whatever. Okay. I like to respond to quotes. Like, that's my way of putting some thoughts into it. The second quote goes, which I forgot to load, it goes, criticism is simply information. Actually, no, it's deeper than that. It goes, criticism is simply information. If it isn't useful information about you, then it's useful information about them. Oh my God, beautiful. Who is this? Mark Manson. Mark Manson wrote that one. All right. Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. Oh, wait. I'm following the guy? Oh, wait. Oh, he's an actual human being. I mean, who's still alive and on Twitter. Best-selling author? Oh, whatever. Focus B. Okay. That second one is deep is because... I don't know if it's an Ottawa thing, but I used to have this habit of taking criticism from anyone. And, it's not the taking criticism part. Taking criticism from anyone, including the people who criticism didn't serve, it's like exactly like that line by Jay-Z. How you rate music? Do you listen to music or do you just skim through it? So taking criticism from people who are listening to your music, but they don't listen to it, they just skim through it. Their criticism is useless. That's my point. All right, let's jump to user random thoughts. But before I do that, my usual announcement of, not announcement, but the usual sound effect to transition. So here we go. All right. Okay. Okay, first one, you know what? This one just made me laugh, and Trump just saying some... When's the last time I played a quote by Trump? Doesn't matter, but this is Trump saying some bullshit, but I don't know. You know what? This is more a comedic effect than anything else, so I'm just going to... Here goes. Here we go.
And then I got indicted a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time. And a lot of people said... That's why the black people like me, because they have been hurt so badly and discriminated against. And they actually viewed me as I'm being discriminated against. It's been pretty amazing.
So according to Trump, black people like him because he's been in jail. You know, I'm laughing, but if this motherfucker comes out and says shit like, you know, yeah, you know what? I'm like the white Tupac. Okay, it's over. Fuck that. It's over. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm going to get involved in an assassination attempt, but I am saying, Tupac fans, those of you, you know, ain't got nothing to live for, I'm just saying, do us a favor. What I'm getting at is him comparing himself to Tupac would be equivalent to, for me, okay? No disrespect to my Muslim siblings, but for me, it would be the equivalent of drawing the picture of Muhammad. I'd lose it. I'd fucking lose it, you know? I mean, like I said, I'm willing to be weird about it, but not to the point of going to jail. But anyways, that's fucked up. Fucked up. On the list of fucked up things Trump has said, I said, this is the one that got my attention. All right. I'm not going to focus on it. Okay, this next one.
At this point, I feel like everybody and their mom know the word.
Okay, hold on a second. Jesus Christ. I forgot to hit pause. All right. This one, I'm just going to play it because I need hope. A brother like me just needs hope, and I thought hearing these words by Gen Z for Change did that for me. So here we go.
At this point, I feel like everybody and their mom know the war in Afghanistan was a tragic miscalculation by the United States. Uh-huh.
But what many people forget is that one sole congresswoman voted against the war in Afghanistan, and her name was Barbara Lee.
She was called a clueless liberal and was told, quote, "You do not stand alone in evil. You stand with Bin Laden, Hitler, and Judas." Wow. This rhetoric framed her as a proud terrorist supporter.
After all, the vote was 420-1, but regardless, she stood on business.
Will they ever realize the value of putting your foot down and standing on business, even in the face of adversity?
Fast forward to today, San Francisco passed a ceasefire resolution, and opposition rhetoric is strangely similar. Bunch of crazy liberals or disconnected citizens falling for terrorists. All I'm saying is we need politicians that see the truth now, not 10 years down the line.
I would have you know that Barbara Lee depressingly fills a similar role as before, a lonesome supporter of Palestine and a ceasefire amongst overwhelming bipartisan support for Israel.
Her words from before still resonate today as she states, revenge, rage, anger, that is no basis for making decisions about war.
And it really gets you thinking, will the same politicians who unjustly criticize the Barbara Lees of this world ever be forced to reconsider? Mm.
Preach, 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 preach. I think while this was playing, it just reminded me, as I was thinking, why are you sharing this? And what's your justification? Justification? No, it's two things. One is boomers suck. Boomers suck. Like, I never thought I'd... Now, someone would say, you know, every generation sucked and every generation had its highlights. But I guess in this particular situation, I say boomer sucks, and I'm including some generation. I say this because after college, after graduating from college and joining the rat race or the grind, going to work, all my colleagues were people my age. And fuck, they were depressing human beings to be around in the sense that, now let me put it this way, I had given up on white people, on white people's ability to understand the shit black people go through. And then fast forward, I end up in the comedy community, and in the comedy community, a lot of people, some of the people are my age, older than me, and a lot younger. And I was fascinated at the younger people and how they were able to articulate shit that I thought only people who looked like me were able to articulate about black people's struggles. That's what I'm talking about. And it kind of made me hopeful. It hit me. I'm like, okay, maybe the people my age don't get it, but the younger people do. And it was hopeful. It was hopeful. So playing this, it reminded me of how Gen Z, yeah, the next generation. I believe the children are the future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Now, here's my thing is, because I still remember the war in Iraq, and the towers. The powers came down. That shit was traumatizing. And he probably joined the whole, yeah, man, kill them all, man, kill them all. I was probably borderline on, okay, I'm going to say something ridiculous because I'm about to sound like the white person who said, yeah, man, after my house got robbed by some black guys, I became a racist. After 9/11, I probably joined in on the whole, I'm ashamed to say it, but I probably low-key joined in, I low-key joined in on the Islamophobic, fad, craze, trend, atmosphere. In a sense that I remember, I had a coworker. He was a Muslim guy. He was Muslim. And very nice guy. Kindest human being ever, right? And I remember telling myself every time I'd watch the news, CNN, and getting ready to say some Islamophobic shit, I'd have to think about that particular human being and be like, oh, right, okay, hold on. But you see how fucked up it is? Like, I had to... It's the equivalent of saying, well, I had to remind myself this woman was being disrespected. I had to remind myself that she could be someone's sister, someone's whatever. Someone's sister, someone's mother. Like, I had the image of Muslims, especially the ones who were, like, trying to say, yo, fuck, Islam is not about fucking killing yourself. It's a religion... I didn't join this fucking religion. I'm not part of this religion because it's about killing Americans. It's about killing people. Nah, it's this shit gives me peace. It's a religion of peace. I remembered they would say that. Seeing someone on TV, you know, because white people needed them to denounce Islamic terrorism, right? So in one of those interviews, and he's like, yo, Islam is not about that shit. And I'd be like, yeah, explain the fucking towers. Because, you know, anyway, okay, where am I going with this? Oh, my God, I'm getting focused. I'm losing focus. What I was trying to say is I had jumped in on the whole, yeah, man, kill them all. And that shit got confusing because, you know, first it was Afghanistan. And then they ended up in Iraq. And Iraq kind of felt like bullshit. Excuse me. sorry, I'm thinking of a Chris Rock joke. How at the beginning everyone was like, what was that joke goes? How white people were talking, you know, yeah, man, fucking kill them, let's get them all, and everything like that. And then at a certain point, white people were getting a little crazier in their language. What I'm saying is, at the beginning, after 9/11, fucking, all of a sudden, white people liked us, we were accepted by white people, and we joined in on the, yeah, man, it's us against terrorism. And then white people continued being white people. And then, you know, yeah, man, it went from fight against terrorism, fight against the brown people. Like, once they start saying shit, yeah, kill the brown people, it's like, whoa, take it easy. Because you know we're next. Some of those brown people are black. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, yeah. Nation of Islam, that's a nigger organization. Yeah, I know, whatever. Okay, so... holy shit. Okay, I realized the point I'm trying to make. The Gen Z clip reminded me, sorry, how easy it was for the American government and the media to sell us on war. Fuck it. You know what I mean? Just drop the bombs. Yeah, was it McCain who was saying? Bomb, 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 Iran, some shit like that. The idea is, yo, we're committing atrocities. It's like, I'm saying, yes, we were scared after 9/11. But all those people who stood up and said, yo, war is not the answer. They were right. Yeah, terrorism need to be addressed. I get it, right? Terrorism. A motherfucker's getting on the plane and bringing it down. Yeah, that needed to be addressed. But the whole, let's bomb the entire country, you know, kind of fucked up. I'm just saying, you know. I think of, I remember when World War II was like a noble war until fucking Israel just showed that, nah, man, war is war. War is war. It's not about who's right or wrong. It's about who's got the biggest guns. Back then, we didn't have the guns. Now we got the guns. So we're the bad boys. Yeah, they just showed that what Hitler did, all his crimes he committed, was fucking, he was just long line of shitty human beings on this planet who've committed other atrocities. Like, his atrocity didn't make it. This Hitler was evil, but he was evil like the rest. That's what I'm trying to say. Like the rest. All right. Shout out to Gen Z for Change for that one. All right. Okay. This is a bit of the distraction. Let me see. Look at the timer. And yeah. Okay. This quote, before I go into this next segment, I got to start with, I'm going to start and end. Well, no, I mean, I'm going to forget. But no, I'm going to start with the quote, this quote that goes, and shout out to my man Talon Macy for sharing this. And it goes, you don't have to be extreme, just consistent. When I first read this, I didn't realize how much this applied to me so much. On Monday, you know what? Maybe I'm going to bring up his profile here before, just to get some more information. Just a sec. Because I want to get the exact date. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. So you probably get it. But the self-immolation of Aaron Bushnell. So I don't know when you're listening to this podcast, when you'll be listening. Like, maybe sometimes I think a lot of a historian might be listening to, might discover this podcast somewhere. And it might use this to get an image of what it was like to live in 2024. That's why I like to start off with the date, you know, as a mark. Yes, I have an image of this shit getting played on the Star Trek Enterprise, or the Starship Enterprise. Starship Enterprise. And it's like, this black guy really had a problem with white people. What's a white person? Anyway, yeah. And I'm imagining a future where race is no longer a social construct, where the Muslim, the trans person, and the black person are all angry at these goddamn aliens. What the fuck, man? They're taking our jobs. Yeah. The niggas from Pluto. Yeah. Sorry, Be Black. I was going to say on Shut Up Podcast. No, that's not true. Be Black believes that Pluto is still a planet. Make Pluto a planet again. All right. Sorry. Oh, my God. I'm fucking distracted. Okay. The name, Aaron Bushnell. I'm laughing to keep from crying, to be honest with you, right? On February 25th, 2024. So that was what? Was that before or after I released my hold on a second. I'm delaying because I'm trying to get my thoughts together as I'm speaking to you. So the 25th, that was a Sunday. Interesting. Okay, it happened on Sunday. I ignored the news and paid attention to it on Monday, and it fucked with my head. But just to read the first paragraph from the Wikipedia entry, it goes, on February 25th, 2024, Aaron Bushnell, a 25 years old. I remember when I was 25 and I wanted to change the world. 25-year-old serviceman of the United States Air Force committed an act of self-immolation outside the front gate of the Embassy of Israel in Washington, D.C. Immediately prior to the act, Bushnell said on a live stream that he was protesting against what people have been experiencing in Palestine, at the hands of their colonizers, well said, and declared that he will no longer be complicit to genocide. I ain't contributing to genocide. After which, he doused himself with flammable liquid and set himself on fire. As he burnt, Bushnell repeatedly shouted, "Free Palestine." Excuse me. While a police officer pointed a gun at him, and local emergency services arrived on the scene. Fucking ass. I'm looking for the quote where he says that, yo, if you want to know what you would have done during slavery, or, you know, or all those fucked up shit, all those moments, those fucked up moments in history, you're doing it now. I will lie, man. This shit was fucking with my head to the point that I showed up in therapy. It became the first topic of conversation at my therapy session. Where do I start? My first thought was this. And I hope a white person's feelings gets hurt by this next statement. My first thought was, oh, wow. So they are capable of feeling connected to the human race. They being white people. It's like, oh, wow. It is possible for a white person, specifically a white man, to empathize with the suffering of other human beings that don't look like them. I say this knowing very well the name of John Brown, because I thought of John Brown as John Brown and his story. For those of you who don't know, John Brown was not just an abolitionist in America, from Kansas, but he lived in the United States before the Civil War. He wasn't just an abolitionist, but he was also, the way I'd put it, he's credited as throwing the first punch against slavery. He got some weapons, and he led a group of militiamen, and basically he was against slavery to the point that he was willing to go to war over it. And this was before the Civil War. And he died over it, right? But I remember hearing his story and more thinking, okay, putting myself in his shoes and thinking, like, the idea that this white man was able to put himself in those shackles, and it fucked with him enough to the point of saying, ah, man, fuck that. I'm doing some terrorism. I'm getting guns. I'm being violent. Like, I'm done trying to fucking talk. I know what I said about, oh, wow, these white people are able to feel good. Like, I live in Canada. The majority of the population, full of white people, right? So I deal a lot with the average white person. The average white person, that's what I mean. Not the exceptions, not the John Browns of the world, because I had to Google white people who died for civil rights. The Polish soldiers who joined the Haitian revolutions. What's this guy's name? After the civil rights reconstructions. Really? What the fuck's this man's name? Oh, James Hines. No way. James Hines. Yeah. Google him. Not that guy. Or not even, you know, not extremes, but, you know, white people who've, what was her name? Not the Tim Wises of the world. That's not who you find in my part of Canada. No, it's the average white person. It's the average, hey, I don't see race. How is that racism? Israel has a right to defend themselves. Fuck them kids. You know what I mean? Like, I'm used to hearing white people saying some of the most heartless shit about other people's pain. Excuse me. About the pain of people who don't look like them. Like, blaming the victim. So it got to a point that I'm like, okay, you people lack that part of humanity. Lacking humanity. I'm not saying you're not human, but I'm saying that part of humanity that connects us all, white people don't have it. That's the average white person. That's what I mean by the average, yeah. So to see him do this, it, like, okay. It was a reminder that that man is not average. Well, not just average white person, but average human being. Don't get me wrong, you know. What he did was like an exceptional act. It's not just exceptional. It's the fact that enough. Look, what's going on in Israel? In Palestine, by average white people standards, that's not his problem. What the fuck do I care, man? I'm trying to get the latest PS5. I'm trying to get some Swifties tickets. I'm trying to figure out the Super Bowl. Yeah, I know Super Bowl's over. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get the sale. You know what I mean? The bullshit thing that we give a fuck in this so-called developed country. First world. The bullshit thing that we... Anyways, this... I won't lie, man. My second thought when I saw this, I felt like Bishop in the movie Juice after hearing about Blizzard dying. Okay, you got to see the movie. But my point is, he was like, fuck, I should have been there. This is a bad example, but, you know, fuck it. It's my goddamn podcast. Sorry. It's a good example to me, but I know I won't be surprised if a lot of people are confused, don't get it, but fuck it. I'm going to express the thought. But it's because, you know, I'm weird. This goes along the line of, what's I saying? Willing to be weird. I'm trying to be brave enough to be weird. Yeah. I mean, it's easy to be brave when there's not an audience right now. Anyways, what was I saying? Oh, right. So in the movie Juice, shame on you if you haven't seen the movie, but in the movie Juice, Bishop, the character, there's a part where he sees one of a friend, he comes across a friend who sticks up a bar, and he says, yo, you want to join in on this? And then his friends talk him out of it. And then later he sees his friend, he watches the news, and his friend died while trying to stick up that same bar that he was at. And Bishop was there. Fuck. I should have been there with him. And the thing is, I don't think he cared. I think it was a combination of, I should have been there to have his back, combined with, that's how I want to go out. Then the idea that this is the legacy. This is what I'm willing to give my bullshit life over. So give you a hint of my conversation with my therapist was, by the way, this is why it's supposed to be a short episode, because I knew this was going to get heavy for me. Aaron Bushnell story, it reminded me of my first day of therapy, like my mindset, the first time. My first day in therapy and how I was like angry at myself because I didn't have the courage to do what the Aaron Bushnells of the world were willing to do. I was fucking, that anger was fucking with me. This is the part where I say, I'm not sure if I was suicidal, but I did know that this life was bullshit and I felt like my best contribution to the fucking life at that time would have been death in the form of, like, taking some crackers with me. You know what I mean? Like, a death that... I remember wishing, fuck, goddamn Canada didn't have these strict gun laws. By the way, this is why my first episode was called the Manifesto episode. It was one way of saying, I went from being that crazy person who wished he had the courage to die in a mass shooting, to instead of going to mass shooter, is putting out a podcast. Oh, sorry about that. Let me shut that down. Yeah, for those of you going, yeah, your podcast sucked. I mean, it could be worse. It could be bullets towards your way. That wasn't a threat. Okay, hold on a second. Okay. I'm saying there's a lot worse the human being could be doing in this world. That's all I'm trying to say than a podcast. A podcast that you don't have to listen to. Yeah, so I remember going into... Now, here's the thing. When I showed up in therapy, complaining to my therapist about how reminding her... That's how I felt before. But the thing is, I knew I wasn't that guy anymore. I knew life was... Like, I had a higher regards for life when I brought that up. But I felt the need to remember that version of me. Because the part that I do remember about that version of me, and it's still in me today, is I fucking hate this world, man. I still hate this world. I mean, the part I hate about this world is how atrocities are happening in the world. And if I bring it up, then I'm too sensitive. I'm sensitive. I'm, you know, oh, stop being a bitch about it. Get over it. Like, I feel like, you know, I feel like, for those of you who've seen The Wire, I feel like Wallace after he's seen the death of, after he's seen the dead body of Omar's lover at the time. And when Omar says, man, it's fucking with me. Like, he's trying to explain to D how, yo, he's having nightmares, how, yo, watching that body is fucking with him. And all D could tell him is, man, don't think too much about that shit. That's the world that I live in. I'm surrounded by people constantly telling me, man, don't think too much about that shit. And it's fucked up. It's fucked up. So the reminder I got from my therapist is, B, you got to be mindful of the fact that you're a highly sensitive human being. And you can't consume the news like everyone else. Now, on one end, she's right. But on the other end, I'm like, feeling like I'm ignoring it. My problem is, my real problem is, I'm two extremes. I'm one of two extremes. Either don't do shit, or zero or 100. By the way, that's how digital works. Ones or zero. It's either I'm turned on or I'm turned off. And this is why I found myself, this is why I started this particular segment about Aaron Bushnell by reminding myself, you don't have to be extreme, just consistent. Yeah, I suck at consistency. I want to say shout out to James Cleaver? Is that his name? The author of Atomic Habit, James Clear. And it's the first human being to bring up the idea. It's like, yo, man, you don't have to go to the gym and be buff day one. Just small, start small. But the idea that small progress is better than no progress. That's what the book is about. And I needed to read that, to hear that, so shit like, you don't have to be extreme, just consistent. Being consistent helped me be more consistent in the world. So getting back to, getting back to my point, I mean, I don't really have a conclusion except to say that, she's right. I got to be careful about how I consume the news. No, I'm not a bitch-ass nigger just because I'm not willing to blow myself up for a cause. Even though it feels like it. There's other ways you can help. You know what I mean? I'm not the person to have this conversation with, I guess. And I'm really hoping I just didn't talk someone into doing some suicidal shit. Because that was not the point. It was more, this is more me thinking out loud. You forget everything that I said, probably the one thing to remember. If you're a highly sensitive human being like myself, remember, we can't live our lives like they do. That's probably just the one reminder. We gotta fucking set boundaries. See, that's what's fucked up about me is I grew up highly sensitive person with no boundaries. Or with the notion that boundaries are for bad people. Only bad people enforce boundaries. So you can see how that's a fucked up combination. Sometimes I think if I was born a woman, I'd be one of those women with three kids, no father, because I allow myself to get suckered by some whatever. Sorry, okay, I'm getting out of it. But my point is, highly sensitive and no boundary is a terrible combination. So yeah, I take heed to the. It's funny. I'm saying I take heed to. I need to be careful how I consume the news, but I'm also saying that I salute Aaron Bushnell. I'm not encouraging people to. Basically, what I'm saying, I'm thinking of that line by Tupac where he says, "If you can't find something to live for, you better find something to die for." You know what? Yeah, I'm not the person to reach a conclusion on this one. The one thing I will say is that in the show notes, there's an other link section in the show notes. It's the first section, right? And there's a video that I watched before recording, and it's titled, it's a podcast. It goes, Aaron Bushnell disparaged. Is self-immolation always immoral? And what I like about this addresses all these motherfuckers who are going, oh man, so he's a punk for who are like criticizing him. Criticizing Aaron Bushman for doing what he did. Oh, which reminds me, I'm going to end this segment with. Oh, I'm going to play this segment. I'm going to play this clip by the sister who said something that. Agrees with my belief. And it's like, maybe it's you. Maybe Aaron Bushnell is not the one who's fucked up. Maybe you are. And here we go.
To all the people that are smearing Aaron Bushnell and saying that he was mentally ill, maybe it's you. Maybe it's the fact that you've become so disconnected from your own humanity that you can continue to watch a live stream genocide for 4 months and feel nothing. Yep. People are already digging into his background, trying to find any way they can to smear him. There is no evidence that he was mentally ill. But even if he was, calling him mentally ill because he decided to engage in an extreme form of protest as our government ignores us while they enable a genocide tells me that you know nothing about mental illness. He knew exactly what he was doing. He wrote a will in which he said he wanted the remainder of his money to go to the Palestinian Children's Fund. He said that he wanted his neighbor to keep his cat. If any of you saw the video, he was extremely calm and very clear about what he was doing as he was doing it. You're trying to smear him in death because it's easier than having to ask yourself what would drive a 25-year-old to do such an extreme action. Yep. He literally stood there and screamed Free Palestine as he was ablaze until his last breath. Maybe it's you. We live in a society where you celebrate and glorify the gluttony and the greed of billionaires and celebrities. You elevate and admire the richest people in the world polluting the planet and exploiting their workers. As a society, we celebrate narcissism and treat it as a virtue. But when a man engages in the most extreme form of protest because he doesn't want to be complicit in an ongoing live stream genocide that so many are ignoring, you say him being outraged, him caring, being connected to his humanity, he's mentally ill. Maybe it's you.
Maybe it's you. So the name of this, the name of the content creator on TikTok is I Am Blakey. Anyways, link will be in the show notes. Okay, last point. But I know I said, no, last point. I know what I wanted to put it. Last point before I finish this is, again, I see the world differently from the rest of y'all, from the average human being, or from people, from the people in my circle. I remember when October 7th happened, the attack at the music concert, like the October 7th date, you know, that's what they call it, the October 7th date. Before that, in Canada, we were celebrating or we were acknowledging or commemorating Truth and Reconciliation Day. And that's supposed to be a day where Canada tries to do right by First Nation Indigenous people. You know, it's like, we remember, yeah, man. Oh, man, what we did to y'all people is fucked up. Yeah, man, it's fucked up. By the way, we get a day off to think about that shit. Right? All these white folks were making their speeches about Truth and Reconciliation and the importance of it. October 7th happened, and our prime minister is like, we stand with the people, we stand with the colonizers of Israel. Israel as the colonizer. We stand with the colonizers. And it's so fucked up on how they can't see the link between the occupation of Palestine and the colonization of this fucking country. You know what I mean? Like, we're filled with white folks telling us, oh, man, oh, what happened? Oh, it's fucked up. By the way, we're going to go skiing on this land, this beautiful land that my ancestors stole. I'm not a big fan of truth and reconciliation. I'm not saying it shouldn't happen, but it's just me being, I don't trust these white folks. I don't think they're sincere about this shit. No, you know what it is? I don't trust the average white person to be sincere about truth and reconciliation. That's what I'm saying. All right. There's no positive note to this, but just, you know, RIP Aaron Bushnell. All right, two segments to go. Yeah, two things. Okay, before I get to final thoughts, at my last therapy session, my therapist gave me some affirmations to do. And it's funny how I don't think you're ready. No, she was right. I don't think you're ready for affirmation because I was like, yeah, you want me to bullshit myself? But I recognize that I'm already telling myself negative shit. Like, it's very, you don't know what goes on in my mind. But, I'm very negative. I'm very mean to myself. And we finally got to a point where, okay, I'm going to give you some affirmation. You're going to try it. And it's funny how, because initially I would have been like, I'm not reading this corny shit. But now I'm like, no, you know what? I need some affirmation to replace what I'm currently saying. And first one, yeah, and I'm just going to read a few of them that she gave me. And the first one goes, I get bitches. I get bitches and hoes. I get big booty bitches. I get money. Nobody can rap quite like I can. I take a musty bound man and put his face in the sand. Okay, I'm kidding. Okay. I'm going to read the few ones that really struck me. It goes, I am my own best friend. So sometimes they're challenging to read, but I might counter them because it's my way of acknowledging it. It goes, I am my own best friend. That's bullshit. I mean, I'm working on it. It is natural for me to love myself. See, that one is, whoo. So it's one thing to say it. It's the believing part that's hard. I am grateful to be the person that I am. I'm working on it. I love each part of myself. Yeah. I honor my life. Yeah, I can't fuck with that. Okay. See, this is where being religious or having a relationship with the creator is where was helpful. I appreciate all the ways I am unique. That one I like. That one I could recite and I can, yeah. I accept my awesomeness. I like that one. It reminds me of the one that I recently read on one of the episodes. It says, I think it goes, don't forget how dope you are or something like that. I forget. Anyways, I accept my awesomeness. I love who I am. I'm relaxed and calm. And then there's more. But I'm just saying, yeah, I'm trying these affirmations. Part of trying these affirmations is also helping me appreciate my podcast more because it's my creation. Another bad creation. All right, okay. Last but not least, I made a few improvements on the site. You probably would have noticed. I stepped up my social media game. Initially, if you go on the shutuppodcast.com website and you scroll down, there's a social media. Initially, it only had Twitter on there. Now I've added, there are accounts that's already been there, but now I'm being more serious about it. It's Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and Patreon. I don't know if Patreon counts as social media, but the point is I also have a Patreon page. I'm going to start promoting it. And for now, because there's no value added. Well, I mean, right now the value added will be you're entitled to the YouTube page and you're also entitled to the entire catalog of Shut Up Podcast. At the moment, right now, if you go to the website, you only have access to the first. Well, on the website, you probably only have access to the last 12 episodes. And whatever. To be continued. But my point is, I needed to celebrate this milestone. 151 episodes later. That's how I measure time for this podcast. I finally have stepped up my social media game. All right. This concludes using random thoughts. Let's jump to final thoughts and get the fuck out of here. All right? Okay, let's go. Here's hoping I could. All right, okay. Let me just jump to it, right? You know, I knew I was gonna have a lot to say, even though there was not a lot of subject. But fuck, here we are. Okay. For today's what's up with today's title? It's an excerpt. The title comes from Jay-Z's track "Renegade" featuring Eminem. Now, what's interesting. Or not interesting, is how initially, first time I heard that Jay-Z's verse on Renegade, I'm like, man, dude, you suck. Holy fuck, you letting this white boy embarrass you. But it's only after I reread it and realized that, oh, wow, this shit is like a poem slash speech slash affirmation slash... I think it was more, for me, it was more meant to be read. It's the rhymes are dope, but it's more the idea. See, the last two episodes, I've been stuck on this notion of being an outcast and embracing the fact that I'm an outcast, embracing the fact that I'm neurodivergent. Is that the word? Neurodivergent, meaning I don't see the world. I'm in my personality, the thing that makes me puts me in a category of human being that are not a majority. More importantly, I need to embrace the fact that people like me naturally stand out. You know, it's kind of funny that I'm a 6'1" black guy, 300 pounds, who's trying not to stand out. Black guy in a white society. I wish you knew how much I tried. It was a struggle for me to fit it. Like, I was lying to myself. I hated when white people would point out that, oh, you listen to rap music. Fuck. I needed to embrace the fact that you're going to stand out to these people. So getting back to Renegade, I realized that first verse was Jay-Z embracing the fact that the music that he makes, his lyrics, is causing him to stand out. I love the idea that when I read that first verse that Jay-Z is having the same concern or same annoyance about people who criticize his music but from an uninformed position. I made a list. So I'm not going to go through the whole song, but I summarize some of the thoughts from the song that I appreciated. And I like the idea that Jay-Z is annoyed by his haters, despite the fact that he's a successful rapper in a rap game. He's made his name out there. He's still annoyed by the haters. They still get his attention. To me, that shocks me. It reminds me of I was thinking of an episode of the Black Guy Who Tips, and how Rod, because Rod expresses it the most, is how he's concerned about putting a good show out there. He's still he's not sitting on his laurels. Like his not failure, but his status quo is my success. But he's still he's still on the grind like I'm on this podcast. Okay, well, I'm not, but he's still got that hunger of, oh, fuck it. Okay, I'm on Mars, now I want to get to Jupiter. Wait, what's the next planet? Is Jupiter after Mars or is it Saturn? Yeah, it is Jupiter. No, it's Saturn. Yeah, Mars. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Okay. he's still expanding, that's my point. So, yeah, Jay-Z is still annoyed by his haters. Being able to remind himself, yeah, so what allows him, so maybe there is a hater who says something about his music that bothers him. But yo, like Erykah Badu says, keep in mind that I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my ship. And what allows him to stand on business, sorry, everyone's saying it, so I'm going to start saying it. What allows him to stand on business is reminding himself where he came from, what inspired his music, what inspires his music, and reminding himself not everyone's going to get it. Reminding himself not everyone's going to understand. It's like that line, I'm thinking of that line by Tupac where he says, yo, you don't have to bump this, but please respect it. Talking about his music. I like how in that same verse that I recited earlier, he acknowledges that, yo, listening to my music, listening to my verses allows you to become aware of a world that you didn't know existed or don't want to know that existed. Didn't want to know that existed. So it's listening to what I'm talking, listening to me will give you a form of enlightenment about shit you did not know about. And my favorite part is, or my takeaway is, homie, you don't know me well enough to diss me or to judge me. And I say all this because that's some empowering shit. I'm trying to reflect on what he says in that first verse, try to apply those same principles to this podcast. See, the thing is, I listen to him say this shit, but I'm like, but bro, you're Jay-Z. What the fuck? What the fuck do you care about the haters? You're rich. You're successful. What the fuck do you care? But it makes me wonder, when he started out, did the chicken and the egg, did he start out knowing he was dope? Or did he wait for people to say you're dope to realize he was dope? I know the answer. It's the first one. And I guess that's what I'm... Okay, I had a moment today, and it hit me. I'm like, after I created my Patreon page, and it's $5. I think it's American. Maybe I should put Canadian, but whatever. It's $5. $5 a month. And the idea that... Come on, who the fuck you think? $5? Come on, man. 2 cents. The audacity. No, okay, to be honest with you, what I'm going to do with the Patreon page is I'm going to put my... more personal shit. It's going to be more, not just more personal shit, but it's going to be, I kind of feel like a hoe. Because I'm pretty much saying, yeah, pay me and I'll be more personal and I'll be more vulnerable with you. sorry. I went from, come on, B, who the fuck do you think you are charging $5 to, what if you finally... At some point, it might be episode 300, it might be episode 1000, it might be episode whatever. Maybe at some point you figure out your rhythm. You get more in tune with your voice. You're more honest. What if $5 becomes a small price to pay for people? I'm not doing it for the money. I'm doing it more for, I'm not doing it for the money. I mean, I would love the money. But I'm doing it more for the exercise of if you don't believe in yourself, no one else will. Fuck. That just came out of my mind right now. If you don't, like, it makes more sense now to me in this moment. If you don't believe in yourself, no one else will. Jay-Z started out with believing in himself. Man, I hate the fact that I'm sounding like I'm riding, that I'm riding his dick, but that's, you know, toxic masculinity talking here. Sorry, what was I saying? Yeah, Jay-Z started out. The Jay-Z's of the world start out with this weird, unusual, exceptional belief in themselves. They try, and then boom. Next thing you know, they achieve a success that even they don't believe. shit don't feel real too. You know what's amazing about this shit is, starting out, I wasn't a Jay-Z fan. During the 90s, when he was like Reasonable Doubt, all the way up to, I think it's only by Blueprint 3 or the Black Album that I'm like, oh, whoa. I'm not sure what happened, but I remember I think it was the Black Album that I was like, whoa, 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 hold on a second. It's kind of like Jay-Z was initially broadcasting on a frequency that I wasn't responding to. And by the time I got to the Black Album, I was like, whoa, 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 hold on, hold on. I'm hearing something. Shit, hold on. Adjusting, whatever. And then I heard Reasonable Doubt. And I'm like, oh, wow, this nigga's smart. It's a bit, yeah, I did not like the guy. Oh, part of it had to do was because I was a loyal Pac fan. And if Pac didn't like him, then I didn't like him. I'm just going to, okay, you know what? I'm going to end with this bombshell of, if you don't believe in yourself, no one else will. That's how it starts. So let the haters hate. Stand out. That's the journey, folks. I'm on a journey, and I have no idea where it's gonna take me. Damn, I'm emotional. All right, and this concludes today's episode. Like I said, check out the show notes. There's some, especially in the other links section. I like to put in there things that I've consulted, revised before talking some of the stuff that I talked in this episode, and there's some humor in there too. All right, I gotta wrap this up because I forget that I'm working tomorrow. Okay, hey, I mean it when I say thank you for listening. If you want to holler at me, you can find me on these Twitter, Instagram, Thread Streets at using the handle at Shut Up Podcast. Or go to TikTok and find me at shutuppodcast.com. But if you're really serious, I mean really, really serious about finding me on these internet streets, if you want to find me on my stomping ground, you know what I mean? Bring it. You and your crew, I'll be waiting at shutuppodcast.com. What was that? I said shutuppodcast.com. One more time. And this time, put the volume on 10. I said shutuppodcast.com. Powers of three, boys and girls. You can use email address, if you're old school like that, use email address to holler at me. Email address is shutuppodcast41@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast by using the RSS feed that's on the website, or go to Google, Apple, Amazon, and other places where you can find your podcast. No, I'm still not on TikTok. And it's an internal struggle, man. It's an internal struggle. All right. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.